And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
On the eve of the NHL season, we deliver some last-minute presents. It's another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jake Hahn, Pete Jensen with you today. Nick Alberga on location. How you doing today, Pete?
What's up, Jake? Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And great to catch up with you, of course. And some big news, right, with Jeremy Swayman, the word trade thrown out there in reports. I mean, that really made me take a step back here and look at the big picture. What's up, man?
Yeah, well, let's get into Swayman a little bit. I don't know about the trade aspect of all of this, but it is getting a little spicy between both sides, is it not, Pete? You get, Cam Neely coming out and saying what he said and throwing a number out there, and then Swayman's camp answers with a post. So how do you see this playing out, and how is it affecting, you know, your draft right now and how you're approaching Swayman?
The report was that he's considering requesting a trade, and then, of course, all Bleacher Report and everybody else under the sun throwing out the best trade destinations for Jeremy Swayman. I'm here hoping that things work out. I'll offer myself to be the mediator. I really want Jeremy Swayman's ceiling to be on display this season, Jake. We docked him down in our rankings among goalies from number 2 to number 5, so we're taking this seriously, right? There are a lot of safer options out there, whether it's Hellebuck, UC Saros, Jake Ottinger, but he's still a top 5 goalie for me in the rankings, even with this uncertainty.
I think this is something we can take advantage of. I do, because I think eventually something's going to get done here, and could even get done, you know, right around the start of the season, to the point where he misses a week or two, maybe a handful of starts, Pete, and we could get some value because people are going to be scared off of him. I'm sure you've done a couple of drafts at least already where he plummets down the board a little bit. So I like to take advantage of these types of situations, whether it's injuries, you know, restricted free agent contract negotiations. I think there could end up being some value here on Swayman if you're willing to take a bit of a risk.
And I'm really curious to ask later in the show when we have our boy Michael Leboff on how he's treating this situation from a betting lens, because you can say, honestly, even if he's traded, he could catapult another team out there, maybe even go to a contender. I doubt Boston would ever want to trade him to one of the big dogs around the league that could use a goalie. I'm thinking of you, Colorado, but I think that like Swayman has a chance to win the Vezina if he signs the dotted line for Boston or even for another team and one of the middle to higher tier teams out there.
Well, yeah, like you said, we do have Leboff coming up on this episode to talk a little betting with us. Anna Dua coming up shortly as well. I've got some Boston Bruins takes in for Leboff as well. So we will definitely go back to the Bruins, Pete. And I think there's some value with Korpisalo. I already liked Korpisalo before this whole situation happened. I was already in on him as a very late round play to steal some starts from Swayman. I think that interest is obviously going to go up now. So maybe I'm not quite getting the late round value that I was before, but in the drafts I've done, Korpisalo is still going very late. I think there's some value on him. Even if Swayman gets something done, Pete, I think Korpisalo is going to get his fair share of starts in Boston this year.
The other thing that made waves was like they picked up this other goalie from Vancouver, Jiří Patera. So it looks like Boston is kind of like taking this seriously on their own side. Like maybe we don't quite need Jeremy Swayman at the very start of the season. Are the Bruins a playoff team if Jeremy Swayman does not suit up for them? I would say no. Do you agree, Jake?
I still think they can make the playoffs without Swayman. I know it's going to be difficult in that division, but I think they could piece together the goaltending. They're so strong on the blue line, and I like the additions that they made in the offseason. So I still think they could do it, but it would be a challenge, Pete. It certainly would. I think they got to get something done with Swayman if they want to win a cup, and that's what the Bruins are all about, right? They go into years thinking that they're going to be cup contenders, and I think that's where we're at right now. So I'd say the other big storyline of preseason, Pete, I don't know if I've seen this many injuries in preseason over the last couple of weeks. It's been crazy. So we've had some long-term injuries like Laine and Doughty, some bumps and bruises as well. Guys like Artemi Panarin leaving the game. How scared off of this sort of stuff do you get when you're drafting, when these guys get an injury tag?
Yeah, I mean, we did a mock draft 2.0 just for fun with me, Anna, Davey, and James Harding for NHL.com. And like Panarin didn't go in the top 10, neither did Brady Tkachuk. It's one of those things where like two top 10 guys, you might feel a little bit better about the update we got after Brady Tkachuk left the game. Doesn't seem like he's going to miss a ton of time from the early looks of it, but he's still one of the best category coverage guys in the game. So he went a little bit higher than Panarin. But I wanted to ask you, if you're at like 7, 8, 9 in a draft right now, and your drafts are happening, you know, before the Global Series or before the real opening night next Tuesday, are you doing like reaching for Cale Makar a little earlier, or Shesterkin, or are you going with the safe Mikko Rantanen? There's also Jack Hughes, kind of the sleeping giant for the Devils that could drop like 120 points this year.
It's a great question. And I think that 7, 8, 9 range that you mentioned, Pete, is a fascinating range to be in a fantasy draft right now after the, you know, the big dogs go, the top six. I think we can all agree on what the top six are. I've been Jack Hughes from basically the start of the offseason. So regardless of these injuries, I'm going Jack Hughes if I have 7, 8, you know, hopefully 9, if he's still there. That being said, I don't think you could go wrong with a Mikko Rantanen in that range as well. And I also think, like I said about the Jeremy Swayman situation with the restrictions, free agency, I think you could take advantage of people getting scared off these injuries. Like, I don't think Panarin's seriously injured. I think it's precautionary. He's going through the motions in preseason hockey. So people get scared when there's an injury designation in a draft when you're drafting for a fantasy hockey team. And I think you could take a little bit of advantage of that, Pete.
And if you, to be clear, if you're in a league and if you're worried about Brady Tkachuk and Tim Stützle, who also got injured in that same game, maybe take a look at JT Miller. If you're in a hits, block shots, face-off wins league, few players are better than him. I would reach for him as high as 7 in that type of format. And you can find on NHL.com/fantasy. Look at the whole cheat sheet. Listen to all our season preview podcasts before you do your draft. And then also there's that hits, blocks, face-off wins guide that I always just take it and put it into my draft queue, and I'm sitting pretty there.
All right, Petey, moving on from the headlines here, it's time for some bold predictions with one of our favorites. Actually, it is our favorite from NHL.com, soon to be Sportsnet as well. Congratulations to Anna Dua. Anna, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. That was so sweet. You're going to make me cry, Jake. But, you know, like, they told me that you lived in Toronto, so it was a job I had to take so I could be closer to you.
Wow, Anna Dua is all grown up. She's heading off to Sportsnet north of the border. She's going to be hosting shows. She's going to be on the big television. Congratulations, Anna. Tremendous, tremendous job out of you. But now, here, we have you for 5 minutes. I need you to go out on the limb. I need some bold predictions. So where are you starting, Anna, with your bold predictions fantasy-wise, huh?
I'm going to start with my old city now, New York and the Rangers. And this one is kind of bold, but I'm pretty proud of it. I think Vincent Trocheck is going to lead the New York Rangers in points this season with his first 90-point season. I think Panarin's taking a step back. So that's pretty bold, but I love Vincent Trocheck. I think he's the most underrated player in the league. I'll keep preaching that. And that's the one I'm starting with, Pete.
I could see it. I mean, he's been pretty high in the point ranks before, both with the Florida Panthers many moons ago and then with the Rangers last year playing with Panarin. Panarin's dealing with some injury concern here. If Trocheck drops 90 points, he might be like a top five player in all of fantasy because of that elite category coverage. So I would really be interested to see if that could happen. Kirill Kaprizov, you've been high on this player regardless of whether you're high on the Wild or not. What's your bold prediction with him in the goals department in the scope of the entire league?
This might get me in trouble now that I'm moving in Toronto, but I love Kirill Kaprizov if he's healthy. I don't even think this is the boldest one. I think he could win the Rocket Richard trophy, and I could see him getting easily over 60 goals, Jake.
One bold prediction for me, and I think you're going to like this one. We agree on this player, Joe Woll of the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is going to be the big step year for him. I think he gets nominated for the Vezina trophy. I'm not going to go too bold and say he wins it, but nominated for the Vezina trophy. Joe Woll stays healthy and puts together the full season. I think he can buy into that one, right, Anna?
This might be the first player I think everyone part of NHL fantasy agrees on. I don't think Joe Woll has any haters, so good for him. Pete and I both love him as well. We even said that he might even lead the NHL in save percentage. Jake, what do you think about that this season?
I'm in on that. It goes right in line with basically what I was saying, right? If he's going to get nominated for the Vezina trophy, he's probably going to have to lead some sort of category, whether it's wins, save percentage, goals against average, something. And in that ilk, and Pete, there's a lot of value on him, I think, in from a fantasy draft perspective this year still.
And if you look at our bold predictions list, you can find it on NHL.com/fantasy along with the cheat sheet and everything else. We have JJ Paterka playing up top with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuck. Yes, You guessed it. I wrote this one. JJ Paterka to be among the top 10 in the NHL in goals with at least 45. I think he has that type of ceiling, and he'll be getting off to a good start in that global series. There's also Cale Makar. Anna, you had a huge prediction on him, historically speaking, at the defenseman position to score, what, over 30 goals or something like that?
Over 35 goals. So that's going to be the most since Paul Coffey all the way back in the mid-80s. But, you know, Cale Makar has been teeter-tottering around that 30-goal mark already in his career. I wouldn't be surprised if he just had a great year. Colorado isn't the deepest team out there, right? So there's a lot of ice time for Cale Makar to make something happen. He's expected to produce. If he's healthy, I could see this one happening. Once again, I don't think this is, like, the boldest of the predictions I have on this list. Pete,
I mean, I would love to see a defenseman take a run at 30 goals again. You know, sort of like a Mike Green. That it's been a while since we've really seen something like that. If anybody is going to do it, it's probably Cale Makar, right? I mean, maybe Quinn Hughes now that he's shooting the puck a little bit more, and there's some other candidates. Roman Josi's a guy that's pretty good at getting it in there from the back end. But Anna, I like that one. Cale Makar, 30 plus goals. That's a fun, bold prediction.
Now, a prediction I have that I do think is quite bold, and I want to get your takes on this, especially in our mock drafts too. This is a player that no one really cared about, and that's Evgeny Malkin for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, that core is trying to squeeze out all the juice that's left in it. So I had him hitting 90 points once again and finishing top 20 in the NHL in that category. You guys look surprised already that I said that. So, okay, Jake, you go first.
Anna's bringing it with the bold predictions here. Gino Malkin turning back the clock. I mean, this is one I could definitely root for. Gino's been tricky, to say the least, in fantasy hockey, right? Just even staying on the ice for a full season has been tough for him in his later years. But who wouldn't love to see Gino turn back the clock, right? And Pittsburgh certainly needs it, Pete. They need some help with, Gensel not there anymore. Who's going to help Sid and Brian Rust score some goals? So according to Anna, it's going to be Gino. I love that.
I think with Pittsburgh's playoff chances looking slim right now, they're going to need the elder statesman to hit their ceilings, right? They're going to need 100 from Crosby, maybe even, you know, back up in those whereabouts for Erik Karlsson. I know he's dealing with an injury in the preseason, so I don't love his chances of hitting there. That said, in that latest mock draft, I did reach for him in this one league where I was, or this one team where I was looking for a number one defenseman. He still has that type of ceiling, so don't sleep on Pittsburgh's star guys.
All right, before we move to Michael Leboff, Bob's got to get a bold prediction in here, and he's going to give you one. I think I've already mentioned it in previous episodes, but for those that are just hopping on board and catching up with our season preview episodes, how about this one? I could see Vegas, just like my guy Kalinowski, I could see Vegas having a nice little season here. And how about Noah Hanifin having a big monster year on the blue line, potentially so good that he's going to win the Norris Trophy? And let me say this, his number is so big and so large that you can't even find it on a lot of boards. It's a big, 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 big price. Go seek it out, hunt it out. Noah Hanifin, kind of coming out of nowhere like a John Carlson winning the Norris. How about Noah Hanifin, Jake, winning the Norris at a big price? I mean, you could put like $10 on it and win like $600. That's how big the price is.
Well, if I know Leboff, I know he's coming with like a bunch of triple digit numbers to throw at us. So Hanifin sounds right up his alley. And I mean, that's a long shot. If Anna's bold prediction comes true of Makar scoring, what, 35 goals was the number, then I think you got no shot there, Bob. But hey, it's a big number. You don't have to sprinkle too much on it to have some fun with that one.
Hey, Anna, I know it's been a crazy time. Really appreciate everything you've done for helping me and NHL.com over the past 2-3 years. It's been a blast working with you, and really appreciate and really excited for your future. Good luck with everything at Sportsnet, and we'll have you on during the season for sure.
Well, thanks. And exactly, it's not a goodbye, it's a see you soon, guys.
All right, I can't wait for this one. We got Michael Leboff of the Action Network joining us to talk some of his best bets for the season. Love chatting with this guy. We're usually on the same page, but I know Leboff's probably going to bring some monster numbers to the table, as he always does. Leboff, thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. I'm really excited for the season, because I think a lot of people are walking down a path where they see the league shaking out similarly to what we've seen the last three seasons, and who can blame them? Everyone had been predicting change for so long, and they keep getting burned, and they don't want to do it again. And that's leading to some value across the board, across a lot of markets, in going against that narrative. So that's what I'm here to do, Pete.
I love those narratives. Let's talk about the relocation narrative, and we'll start with the coach of the year race. I know you were high on Andre Tourigny He goes from Coyotes coach to Utah Hockey Club coach. He is one of the top contenders for the Jack Adams Award. Are you betting him? What's the best betting angle surrounding the Utah Hockey Club? I think they could make the playoffs. I have them in my playoff picks this year.
Yeah, I think that the best betting angle for them would be to bet him, to bet Tourigny to win the Jack Adams. And maybe I'm just being stubborn because he was 100-1 last year, and I felt like that bet had a lot of legs, especially in the beginning of the season before their season went pear-shaped. I'm not going to do it again just because it's now only 17-1. But I would say if you're someone who thinks they're going to make the playoffs and you want to make that bet, you should absolutely be betting Tourigny at eight times the price, right? He's 17-1 to win Jack Adams. They're a lot shorter than that to make the playoffs. It's probably closer to their division odds. So if you're expecting year one in Utah to be gangbusters, you absolutely should be backing Bear in the Jack Adams market. It's funny. I think the Jack Adams market used to be my favorite, like one of my favorite days of the season or of the offseason was when this market got populated because bookmakers, I'm not saying they were asleep at the wheel, but, and this is across all sports, they didn't really understand how this, or it wasn't priced correlated to how this award usually works, which isn't, hey, what's going to be the best team? Who's going to overachieve the most? Who's got the best story backing them? So this year, the numbers have definitely sharpened up a bit. We're not seeing those big 100-1 numbers like we did last year on someone like Tourigny. But the two guys that I do have a lot of interest in are Patrick Roy of the Islanders. I think if the Islanders do contend for the division, they're sitting around 13-1 to win the Metro. I think that's probably asking too much of them, but he's 30-1 to win the Jack Adams. So if you do think the Islanders have that ceiling, you should absolutely bet Wah, who's a media darling and the media votes on this award, instead of just betting the division. You should go for both of those or play it at least play a little bit on the Wah Jack Adams. And the other one is Greg Cronin. And this one I got talked into a bit when Jake came on our line change awards preview by my partner in crime, Nick Martin. We're starting to believe in these Ducks, Pete. I don't know if it's for better or worse, but if I want to have a little bit on Cronin, because I think if the Ducks just make the playoffs, I think he gets a lot of love. And he's sitting 45-1. I think that's about where I would play it down to, Jake.
I don't think I sold you guys on Dean Evason or Martin St. Louis when I came on. I know I threw those names out there. It's tough. Like Montreal making the playoffs, Columbus making the playoffs in an Eastern Conference where I think 14 of the 16 teams go into the season thinking they're going to be playoff teams, right? And those are probably the two that are on the outside. So I think if one of them did have that miracle run, and I could see Columbus maybe rallying around everything and Dean Evason getting it done there. And you mentioned Patty Waugh being a media darling as well. Martin St. Louis would certainly fall into that category. So it's tough to back these teams, Leboff, but I do like the narrative side of this thing, right? Where you look at coaches that I think the media tends to gravitate towards.
And a good point to bring up with those two coaches in particular is if Montreal or Columbus get off to hot starts, the last market that really gets adjusted is the Jack Adams. So like if you're saying, oh, wow, this looks legit from Columbus or this looks legit from Montreal, we're not going to see Martin St. Louis just all of a sudden vault to the top of the Jack Adams market or Dean Evason in that case. So that's when to maybe buy in on those guys what we're seeing from them, if it's a strong start, is real. And you do think that their season actually has some legs to it. And it could be a ceiling season from either one of those teams. That's the time to buy in. Cause I don't think you're going to see those numbers slash like crazy in October. It took some time for even Rick Tocchet last year to vault to the top of the board. You know, Peter Laviolette was the favorite for quite some time. And finally, bookmakers wisened up and Tocchet was a runaway favorite as we got towards the stretch.
Couple of Jack Adams plays that I like are Lindy Ruff plus 2,200. That's juicier than Tourigny's plus 1,600. And then John Tortorella, who's won the award twice, plus 4,000. If he gets the Flyers to the playoffs and he plays nice, let's say, with Matvei Michkov and Michkov wins the Calder, don't be surprised if Torts is standing there at the end of the day holding up the Jack Adams award.
Well, if Philly can get a save to close out the season, maybe they can actually get it done. That was rough to watch at the end of last year, but we'll see. Someone can step up in that crease. But speaking of the crease, Leboff, anything for the Vezina? I think the Vezina is fascinating. You could go pretty far down the board, and I know you pretty well. You like to go pretty far down the board. So do you have any long shot Vezina plays?
Yeah, so the Vezina is the new Jack Adams, which is, maybe doesn't make much sense, but if you've been listening to to my work on this show or whatever, you know what I'm going at here, which is that this is the market you want to shop way down the board. Not saying that one of these long shots is going to win, but you want to take a shot here, because let's look at the top of the board. Igor Shesterkin is the favorite. He's, you know, plus 550, and there's some books that have him joined at the hip with Connor Hellebuck. Totally in agreement with that. Those two guys should be the favorites. I'm not going to argue. They are the most likely winners. But then after that, Jeremy Swayman, Ilya Sorokin, Thatcher Demko, Jacob Markstrom, Andrei Vasilevsky, Jake Ottinger, Yu Saros, Sergei Bobrovsky. You can poke holes, and Linus Allmark is right there too, right? You can poke holes in all of those guys and be like, would it shock you if this goalie took a step back? Some of them are already dealing with injuries in Demko and Sorokin's case. Swayman is not even under contract, and he's the third favorite. So right away, that tells you, like, there's a lot of guys down the board. It might sound crazy to you, but Thatcher Demko has just as much a chance to win, in my eyes, to win the Vezina Trophy as someone like Darcy Kemper, who's 150-1, 10 times the price on Demko. Yeah, Demko is the better goalie at this point in his career, but his body of work in this season, where he's already dealing with injuries and the Canucks are going to put him on a pitch count, going to stack up to someone like Kemper, who's going to start for a really good defensive team in Los Angeles. So Kemper is someone I really like. I was in on Jonas Korpisalo at 300-1. That number's come down, obviously, as books have wisened up. But if you can find Korpisalo in like a to lead the league in goalie wins market in the triple digits, I still think there's a way in on him, because he's playing behind a defense. And what's really the difference between Korpisalo this season and Linus Allmark from a couple years ago when Allmark won the Vezina behind this defense? So I think that there's at least a little bit of a path to success for Korpisalo to have a monster year with the Swayman situation going the way it is. And the last one I'll bring up is Justus Annunen on Colorado. He's 300-1. He has to do two things to even be like in the top 15 of this award, just to get started, which is play better than Alex Georgiev and have the team hand him the keys. And both of those things are long shots in themselves, but that team should rack up wins. And if he does, and we saw last year with Annunen in his like first real stint in of NHL action, he put up really good numbers. He was like plus 13.8 goals saved above expected in 14 starts. So he was saving them a goal per game, basically.
That's a big time sleeper pick. I like the idea behind it, though, if Georgiev falters like he did in the postseason last year.
Joe Wall, 75-1 for me, and Aiden Hill, about 35-40-1. Those are two names that I'm really looking at in this race, Leboff. But I think another trophy that you're interested in, I'm interested in certainly as well, is the Norris Trophy. So I need you to tell me that you're going head-to-head against Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes and these top dogs. It's a little scary, but I'm sure you've got some value for us down the board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not only am I going against those two guys, I'm going to do it with I'm bringing a pea shooter to the gunfight here. I'm bringing in a 500-1 ticket to go up against, you know, Hughes, Bouchard, Adam Fox, all those guys. I think that there is a path for Noah Hanifin to make hay in this awards race. The Golden Knights have a great blue line, and he's going to lead the charge. And I wonder if the team will give him some significant power play time. I think his career high in goals is like 13. If this playing on a better team, where he can run a power play, he plays monster minutes, I think that you can start to squint and see a path to success for Noah Hanifin to at least get on some ballots. And he's 500-1. I don't think he should be this far out there. I think that it should be a lot shorter. He should be up there in the 100-1s. He's sitting down here with like Tyson Barry and Mike Matheson and such, and I just don't think that's fair. Like, I think he's got a better chance than Alex Pietrangelo, who's on his team, and Pietrangelo is 120-1 at some places. So he's someone I'm keeping in mind for sure in this market. I've got a couple other ones though, but I am interested to hear what you and Pete have to say.
I love that Vegas blue line in general, guys. I don't know how it's going to shake out in terms of, you know, power play shares. Obviously, for Hanifin to reach this ceiling, he's probably going to have to take over that first power play. But that's what you're looking for when you're betting these types of awards, Leboff, and you're betting these types of numbers, right? Is a path. You understand it's a long shot, but you see this path that can happen for this player to take to end up on top and nominated for this award.
I like Mo Sider too at 70. He's 75-1, and it's the same thing. I think that this guy is just the whole league has kind of caught on to the fact that he plays the most difficult minutes perhaps in the NHL, or he did last year. And he's got some offensive upside. He can give you a monster average time of ice. You know, he can play like 25 minutes a night throughout the entire season. And if he can will this Red Wings team into relevancy and into the playoffs, he will definitely be on some people's ballots. So I like Seider at 75-1. I don't see too much of a difference between his chances and someone like, you know, like even like a Victor Hedman or a Charlie McAvoy, who are, they're both like half the price. It's just more about a reputation thing, I think, when it comes to Hedman. And and McAvoy is obviously on this Bruins team that always is limiting goals against. So I think if you're interested in a big season from Detroit, I think Seider to win the Norris is a good way in on backing Detroit without just like going and betting them to make the playoffs.
In that 75-1 range, I don't mind Dougie Hamilton as well, and a path that he could get in New Jersey this year. Roman Josi would be my play at the top of the board. I don't think I'd be shocking anybody with that one, though. Obviously, he's one of the big dogs for this award. Leboff, you're going to have to talk me off Nikita Kucherov for the Hart Trophy. I mean, it's the same number I got with him last year. Obviously, it's a number that didn't win, but he was very close, pushed Nathan MacKinnon. It was an excellent race. If Tampa's going to do anything significant, I think Kucherov's going to be in on 50% of the offense again. And we're getting, I think, a pretty fair number for a guy that can challenge McDavid. So anything you like in the Hart, and how do you feel about the Kucherov play?
Yeah, I like the Kucherov play. You just got to hope he doesn't go to the All-Star game, right? You want him to take that week off. But it's so hard to find like the gumption and like the willpower to try to beat the three guys at the top, like McDavid, MacKinnon, Matthews. I know a lot of people are going to go to Jack Hughes. I would want a bigger number than that. I think it only starts to get interesting when you get towards the 20-1 where Kucherov and like Kaprizov are. I could make a case that for a goalie again, but I'm kind of just getting tired of doing it. I've done that 3 years in a row now with the likes of like Sorokin and Hellebuck. You could, if you're someone who thinks that Igor Shesterkin can win the Vezina, I think it behooves you to also play him to win the Hart, because he is getting that reputation of being the most important player on a good team, and he's 70-1 in the Hart Trophy, and he's 6-1 to win the Vezina. If he puts up good enough numbers to win the Vezina, he certainly will be in the Hart Trophy conversation, as he was a couple of years ago. He was climbing up the board, and he finished third in the voting in 2022. So I don't think that's a bad one. If you want to find something really deep, you can maybe talk me into a bet on someone like Mitch Marner at 100-1. If you're thinking he has like a huge ceiling year and a contract year, Barkov's down there at 100-1. And I know Jake likes Eichel, and I don't think that's a bad play either, but it's really hard to find. This is the one market that's just so, you almost just feel defeated before you go into it if you're not betting the top of the board, Pete.
Well, when we look at our team win projections on NHL.com/fantasy, we compare them to the previous year, and we see the most improved teams across the league based on our projections. Some of those teams, Mike, Utah, New Jersey, Buffalo, San Jose. Even if San Jose's terrible, they could have a Coach of the Year candidate. Warsawski, they could have one or two Calder candidates, maybe even three, depending on how it shakes out. With Askarov, Celebrini, and I really like Will Smith as a Calder sleeper. And then even for Utah, beyond Tarigny, there's Mikhail Sergachev plus 10,000 and Connor Ingram, who had a great year last year. Maybe he gets more recognition if he gets Utah to the playoffs. Any thoughts on those improved teams and which bet you like the most?
Yeah, well, one team I'm starting to really get talk myself into, I'm not hearing, you know, I'm not talking to people in my living room and they're saying, hey, start believing in the Sabres, but I'm starting to believe in the Sabres. And yes. I wasn't big on this team the past few years. I felt like maybe I was missing something. And I heard Jake's sidekick Boomer Gordon make a point about the Devils and horse racing, about drawing a line through a season. And that's kind of what I'm opting to do with last year with the Sabres. If you look 2 years ago, 92 points right around the playoffs, and they were supposed to take that natural progression and get to, you know, 98 points or whatever, and they obviously didn't do that. But I'm going to draw a line through last year for Buffalo, kind of chalk it up to just not being good like people are doing with the Devils. Things didn't go their way, and say, okay, if they were supposed to, you know, push up to the 98-ish point last year without much change, they should still be able to do that this year. And that's where I'd start looking at Buffalo in the divisions. They're 16-1. This number was like way shorter than this last year, because the Sabres had a lot of hype. Like it was, I believe, around like plus 750 or 8-1. maybe a little bit longer than that for them to win the division going into the year. A lot of people backing them. I think that that number is actually playable. If you think that Florida maybe takes a little bit of a step back, Toronto kind of just does what they do and hang around that 2-3 mark. We don't know what's going on with Swayman and the Bruins. I think that the Lightning are, you can tell me the Lightning are going to get 120 points or 85 points, and I think you can make salient arguments in either direction. Then you put Buffalo in the cohort with Detroit and Ottawa, and I do think that they have a chance to nudge ahead of those teams. So one thing, I'll come here with a 1,000-to-1 division parlay, if you don't mind. 500-to-1 wasn't good enough for me, but I like Vegas in the Pacific. The Sabres would be my long shot. New Jersey in the Metro, and then the Central, I would go with Dallas. And if you play those four and they hit, which they won't, that's 1,000-to-1, depending on the book you use. I think I played it at DraftKings to get that number, and it was just short shy of 1,000-to-1 with the 16-to-1. I think Vegas was plus 450, Dallas 220, 230, and the Devils were right around that number too. So that's how I'm going to play Buffalo to make sure that even when they win the division, I find myself a loser.
That's what we call the retirement parlay, yes. Leboff. So I can't let you mention it and then not tail it, and then it hits at the end of the year, right? So I might have to sprinkle a little bit on that one. Unfortunately, we probably have to draw a line through the last 12 seasons for Buffalo,
right,
not
I
just
know.
The one, right? Yeah. But that being said, I'm actually in on the Sabres, and I mentioned this on our last podcast, and Nick wasn't too fond of it, but he's not here, so we can pump the Sabres tires a little bit more. So I'm actually in on that angle a little bit. I could see them this finally being the year where it comes together and they push for the playoffs. But I do like Boston in that division. It's not as big of a number, obviously, as Buffalo, but plus 500 for the Bruins to win the Atlantic. I just think people are a little too down on Boston, especially based on what's going on with Swayman. I think that'll sort itself out. And I love the moves that the Bruins made in the offseason. So I'm in on the Bruins to win the Atlantic and maybe a sprinkle on the Stanley Cup as well. Any other plays that we left on the cutting room floor here?
Like I said, I think if you want like a Stanley Cup future, I think Vegas is probably the best value, just straight up left, in the 18-20-to-1 range. Max Siplikov is going to play on the Islanders power play. He's 25, 26 years old, coming over from the KHL. This is his rookie year. It does take a lot to get voters to bet on somebody who's like an overager in this market. We saw it with Michael Bunting a few years ago. But if he's going to get that opportunity playing next to Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri and play on the power play, he scored 31 goals in the KHL last year. If he can find a way to get to like 25, 30 at 65-to-1, I just don't think anybody knows who he is, and I don't blame anybody for that. So he's kind of floating under the radar in the Calder race. And I do have some love for Josh Doan there too. It's like a 50-to-1 Calder shout out.
Well, you made me sweat it a little bit, Leboff, but I did hit my anytime Siplikov mention from you today. you made me wait till the end of the hit, but I knew it was coming at some point. You always bring it, buddy. This was great. You can catch Leboff over at the Action Network, the Line Change Pod. Appreciate you jumping in with us today, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get ready to bet a lot of Siplikov anytime goal scorers as we get out of the gates here.
Great stuff from Leboff, as always. Wanted to just throw out there as well from the Devils, who we talked a lot about with Sheldon Keefe and of course, Jack Hughes, Jacob Markstrom plus 1,200 to win the Vezina. If they are the most improved team in the league, Jake, I would take that number because just a couple seasons ago, he led the entire NHL in shutouts with 9. So he's got a super high ceiling, even being a little bit older if he stays healthy. And reminder for everybody playing free-to-play games out there, the Pepsi Zero Sugar NHL Goalie Challenge is back for another season. It starts up on Tuesday with the real opening night. So look out for the links and set your picks all season long.
Yeah, you mentioned Markstrom for the Vezina. I brought up Dougie Hamilton for the Norris. I think Jack Hughes is probably going to be very popular in the Hart Trophy. So everybody in on the Devils. And those Devils are going to kick off the season Friday in Prague against the Buffalo Sabres. This was great, Pete. A lot of fun. We'll be back on Monday. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.